Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We worship the Lord in singing number 317. 317. Let us sing all four stanzas. God, an all-sufficient helper. Let us make confession of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith, with each one saying thus in his heart, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Number 267. 267. Jehovah reigns supreme, let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim, let earth before him bow. Let us sing the four stanzas, God the Righteous King. Let us call upon the name of our God in congregational prayer. Most gracious God, our Heavenly Father, humbly we bow before thy presence to acknowledge that thou art our God and our Savior, and to praise thee and thank thee for the blessings thou hast given to us in Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, that even though this world is filled with much sin and wickedness, that we know the blessedness of thy grace that has redeemed us from sin and that has put within us a love of thee and a love of thy truth, so that we, even though still sinful, seek after that which is good and pleasing in thy sight. We thank thee, Lord, that even though our lives are filled with many hardships and difficulties, that we belong to Christ so that all things work together for our good and for our salvation. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast given unto us peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, that thou hast given unto us true happiness and joy. For we know that no matter what comes to us in this life, because we belong to Jesus Christ, because we are thy people, we shall live with thee forever. We thank thee, Lord, that because Christ is for us, nothing and no one can be against us. We are free from condemnation because on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ, thou hast justified us. Thou dost look upon us as righteous in Jesus Christ, so that even our sin cannot separate us from thy love in Christ Jesus. Be with us as we worship thee this evening. We thank thee, Father, that thou hast given us this opportunity. We thank thee that in our land we are free to worship thee according to thy word. We pray that we would not only appreciate that, but always take advantage of that. May we love to come to thy house of prayer to worship thee. May we love to hear thy word proclaimed unto us. May we seek it as a hungry man seeks after food, a thirsty man after water. May we recognize that thou dost strengthen us spiritually through thy word. We thank thee, Father, that thy word guides us and directs us in the ways of truth and righteousness. Thy word shows us who thou art. It shows us Christ. It shows us the wonder of grace and the beauty of salvation. We thank thee that we might hear the proclamation of that word this afternoon, and through the proclamation of that word, be reminded of the great sacrifice that Christ made for us, but also be reminded of the fact that he is our spiritual king, who so directs our lives that he is saving us. We thank thee, Father, that Christ is our shepherd, and we are his sheep, and he leads us by his Spirit and word. Forgive us our sins and trespasses. We confess, Father, that we are sinners, and we plead, be merciful to us. Grant that we might never lose sight of the fact that we are sinners, for we know that it is only as we see our sin, as we see the utter wretchedness of our nature, that we also see our need of Jesus Christ and appreciate what he has done for us in redeeming us from our sin. We look forward to that day when that work of redemption shall be complete in us, so that we no longer have to struggle with sin, but we will be righteous in our condition as well as in our legal state. Give us a desire to walk in the ways of sanctification, to forsake the world and the things of this world, for heaven and the things of the kingdom of heaven. Give us grace, O Lord, to live as pilgrims and strangers in this world. We ask thy blessing to rest upon thy church. We remember our own congregation and pray that thou wouldst be with each one of us, that thou wouldst bless our office bearers, be with our pastor, bring him back safely to us, that he might minister unto us, that he might preach to us thy word and lead us by that word. Be with our elders, give them thy grace that they might be able to watch over us spiritually and guide us in our spiritual lives. And be with our deacons that they might be able to show forth the mercies of Jesus Christ as they distribute alms to the poor. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be with our denomination, that thou wouldst keep her strong and faithful to thy word, that thou wouldst bless the preaching of the gospel as it goes out in our denomination. We thank thee, Father, for faithful ministers, who even though they are but weak and sinful vessels, are nevertheless used of thee to bring thy word to thy people. May we take care as ministers to preach thy word, to be instant, in season and out of season. We pray that thou wouldst be with our missionaries. We thank thee, Lord, that we might be busy in the work of bringing the gospel to the nations of the world. Bless our missionaries that they might be faithful in preaching thy word and bring fruit upon their labors if it is thy will. We pray that thou wouldst undertake for our seminary as they instruct young men and train them to be ministers. May that labor be faithful to thy word also, so that the ministers that are produced in our seminary will be good preachers of the gospel and used of thee for the edification of thy church. Speak to young men in this very congregation if thou wouldst call them to the ministry of the gospel, that they might seek after it. For we know, Lord, that the laborers are few, but the harvest is great. Bless us, Father, as we continue in our worship. Bless us that we might worship thee from our hearts, out of a true love of thee. And speak to us that we might be exhorted and admonished, that we might be instructed, that we might find our comfort in Jesus Christ. For we ask this in his name and for his sake. Amen. This time we will receive the offerings. Number 302. Let us sing all three stanzas, Our Lord Jesus. For our scripture reading this afternoon, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19, we'll read verse 1 through verse 24. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again unto the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Thus far we read God's inspired word. For our text this afternoon, we consider verses 19 through verse 22 of this chapter. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Beloved of the Lord, last Sunday evening we looked at the suffering of our Lord from the point of view of his suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. We saw that his agony was so extreme that in the garden he sweat great drops of blood. Christ was thinking about the cup that his Father had given him to drink. He was anticipating the torturous pain of the cross, the fiery wrath of God that would be poured out upon him as he hung there on the cross. And just thinking about those things, which thinking was itself a manifestation of the wrath of God upon him at that time, brought him to a condition of such great emotional distress, such sorrow of soul, that it would have killed him if it were not for the fact that he was strengthened by an angel that was sent from God. Thus, even before Christ went to the cross, he suffered horribly. He even shed his precious blood there in the garden. And that was a part of his work of atonement for us. However, it is not in the garden, but on the cross, where Jesus Christ suffered the greatest for us. It was on the cross that he entered into the very depth of his suffering for us. The cross is the heart of the atonement. We would have no forgiveness if it were not for the cross. We would have no salvation. We would have no home in heaven without the cross of Calvary. It was on the cross that Christ endured the fullness of the wrath of God as it poured down upon him from heaven. It was on the cross that Christ entered into the fullness of death and all that death means. It is therefore on the cross that Christ fought the greatest battle against his enemies and our enemies. It was on the cross that he was revealed as the King of the Jews, the King of his people, the King of the church, your King and my King. It was on the cross that as King, he fought for his kingdom and he won his kingdom. What is so remarkable is the fact that God in his providence saw to it that that fact, that Jesus Christ on the cross was the King, he saw to it that that fact was displayed there on the cross. For the title that was written above Christ as he hung on the cross was this: "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." That is what we want to consider this afternoon as we consider this passage under the theme, the title on the cross. Notice first of all the writing of Pilate, secondly the reading of many, and finally the objection of the priests. After Jesus prayed in the garden and sweat those great drops of blood, he was taken prisoner by a large band of both Roman and Jewish soldiers. Judas Iscariot, one of his own disciples, had betrayed him. And now Judas showed the soldiers who Jesus was by giving him that betraying kiss. Seeing their Lord and Master taken captive, Jesus' disciples all forsook him. They all fled. Jesus was taken to the house of the high priest, and there he was tried by the Jewish council. It was during this trial that Peter denied Jesus three times, denied him even with cursing and with swearing. This trial that Jesus had before the Jewish council was a very horrible thing. They bribed false witnesses to say things that were untrue about Christ. They spit in his face. They buffeted him. They smote him with the palms of their hands. After this brutal trial, he was sent to Pontius Pilate. He was the Roman ruler of Judea. When Pilate found out that Jesus came from Galilee, then he thought he could get rid of this nasty case by sending him to Herod, for Herod was the Roman ruler of Galilee. So off Jesus went to Herod. Herod was not interested in justice. He was only interested in seeing some miracle at the hand of this man who supposedly had performed many miracles. Herod's soldiers mocked Christ. They arrayed him in a royal robe. Then they brought him back to Pilate. Pilate wanted to release Jesus. He even offered this wicked criminal, Barabbas, in the place of Jesus. But the Jews were so stirred up by their leaders that they wanted Jesus and only Jesus to be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail against the Jews, he washed his hands of this whole affair and he turned Jesus over to his soldiers. The soldiers stripped Christ. They put on him a scarlet robe. They made a crown of thorns that they pressed into his head. And in his right hand, they put a reed as a scepter. They spit upon him. They took the reed out of his hand and they hit him on the top of his head. They mockingly bowed the knee before him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." By now, it was close to 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday. The soldiers led Christ out of the judgment hall to be crucified. On the way to Calvary, Golgotha, the place of a skull, they made Simon of Cyrene carry the cross of Christ because he had by now been so beaten, so abused physically, that he was too weak to carry his own cross. When they arrived at the place of crucifixion, they fastened Christ to the cross by pounding large nails into his hands and into his feet. And thus, they crucified Jesus Christ. There was, however, something more that they fastened to that cross. We read of it in the text. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Before the soldiers had taken Jesus from the judgment hall, Pilate had seen to it that one of his servants made this sign, which was nailed above the head of Christ on the cross. This sign is referred to in all four accounts of the gospel. But in these four accounts, it is referred to in three different ways. In both Matthew and Mark, it is called an accusation. This word literally means the cause or the reason. It indicates the cause or reason of the crucifixion. It indicates that of which they accused Christ and the crime of which they found him guilty. It was his crime. This was the practice of the Romans. When they crucified a person, they wanted to make sure that everybody understood why this person was being crucified. So they put his crime above his head for all to see. In Luke's account, the sign is called a superscription. That simply means an inscription or a writing, such as an inscription on a coin. In the New Testament, these inscriptions were usually written in black letters on a white tablet. This was done in order that the sign could be easily read, black on white. In John's account, however, we do not read of the accusation or the crime, nor do we read of an inscription, but we read of a title. A title was put above the head of Jesus. This word title refers to the identity of the person on the cross. Just as the title of a book tells us the nature of the book, it identifies one book from all other books. So this title identified the person who was there hanging on the cross. This title, therefore, told everyone who it was that was there hanging on the cross. And what is the title that Pilate gave to Jesus as he hung there on the cross? In John's account, we read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Matthew has it a little different. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Mark has simply, the King of the Jews. And Luke has, this is the King of the Jews. If we put all four of these accounts together, then we can see that the title that was written above Christ on the cross was, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That is his title, his identifying name. The name which Pilate put above his head on the cross. First of all, concerning this title, let us take note of the fact that the crime of which Jesus Christ was convicted was that he claimed to be the King of the Jews. At the Jewish council, when the high priest asked Jesus if he were the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus answered yes, that he was. That was the same as asking if he were the King of the Jews, because the Christ, the Messiah that was promised, would not only be the Son of God, but he would be the King of the Jews. When the Jews brought Christ to Pilate and told Pilate of the crime of Jesus, this is what they said in Luke 23, verse 2. We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Christ freely confessed to Pilate, yes, he was the king. Pilate asked, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered in John 18, verse 37, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Thus, when Pilate presented Jesus to the Jews, he said in John 19, verse 14, behold your king. And when he asked the Jews if they wanted to crucify Christ, he said in John 19, verse 15, shall I crucify your king? That was the big issue. Was Jesus the King of the Jews or not? The Jews said, no, he is not our king. But while the Jews said no, Pilate, by this writing, nailed to the cross, said literally, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Oh, it didn't seem that Jesus of Nazareth was the king of the Jews. What king ever came out of Nazareth? Can anyone or anything good come out of Nazareth? The very name Jesus of Nazareth seems to contradict King of the Jews. And look at him hanging there on the cross. Does he look like a king to you? Do we find kings hanging on crosses? Kings crucify others. But kings are not themselves crucified. Kings have power. They have authority. But look at Christ hanging there on the cross. He appears to be weak and helpless. Kings ride into battle. They conquer. They win great victories. But Jesus seems to be utterly defeated and destroyed. In fact, this is the point of the chief priests. As they walked beneath the cross of Christ, they shouted, "If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him." They said, "You say you're the king of Israel? If that is true, then act like a king. Show us your power. Show us your authority. Come down from the cross and save yourself. Then we will believe that you are the king of the Jews." But Christ did not come down. He hung there. He suffered there. And he died there. This title, however, was and is absolutely true. Literally true. The person hanging there on the cross was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. For first of all, hanging there on the cross, Jesus was the sovereign King of the world, the Lord and the Master of the universe. The person hanging there on the cross was such a great king that if he wanted to, he could have easily freed himself, destroyed all of his enemies, even the whole world, if he had wanted to. In fact, his enemies could crucify him only because he not only allowed them to crucify himself, but he had purpose that they should crucify him. In Acts chapter 4, verses 27 and 28, we read, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." The enemies of Christ could not touch Christ. They could do nothing to Christ. But what God's hand and God's counsel had determined that they should do from before the foundation of the world. Christ, as God, had both eternally decreed and was at that very moment providentially working so that these wicked people would crucify him. That Jesus is indeed the King was also demonstrated in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember when the soldiers came, led by Judas Iscariot, then as they were coming up the hill in a long line, they all fell down backwards. They all fell to the ground. Just at Jesus' remark that he was the I Am. He said, I am. That is, he spoke his name, Jehovah. And the very speaking of that name caused these soldiers to fall down backwards. When Peter cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest, then Jesus told him, put away your sword, Peter. If I want to, I could call 12 legions of angels, thousands upon thousands of angels, to come and fight for me. Jesus was and is now the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But the point of this title is not so much to emphasize Christ's sovereignty as King of the world, but it is to indicate his spiritual kingship over the church, over the Jews. Jesus Christ is the King, the spiritual King, not of the physical Jews, but of spiritual Jews, of the church of Jesus Christ. He is our King, your King, and my King, spiritually speaking. That is what Jesus told Pilate when Pilate asked him if he were a king. In John 18, verse 36, we read, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Jesus said to Pilate, oh yes, I am a king. But my kingdom is much different than your kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom isn't a kingdom that you can see, oh, there it is over there, or there it is over there. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom that is in the heart of my people. The kingdom of Christ, the rule of Christ, is the gracious and loving rule in the heart of all of his people by his Spirit and by his Word. Christ is our King. And as our King, he speaks his word to us. And that word enters into our hearts. That word softens us. That word causes us to receive God's grace, his mercy, and his love. That word saves our souls. That is why Christ did not get down from the cross when they said to him, if you are the king, then come down and save yourself. Hanging there on the cross was a most kingly act. It was the king doing his work as king. For the cross is absolutely necessary for our salvation. Without the cross, we could not and would not receive the Word of God. Without the cross, Christ, through his Spirit, could not and would not give us God's grace and mercy and love. Without the cross, We would not submit and bow before the rule of Jesus Christ without the cross. We would know nothing of forgiveness. Nothing of the peace of God. Nothing of the joy of salvation. Nothing of Christian contentment. The cross is the basis of the kingly rule of Christ in our hearts. And therefore the cross is a part of the work of Christ as our King. We have to look at the cross this way. On the cross we see our King riding a great white stallion into battle to fight against our greatest enemy, to fight against our sin, to fight against Satan, to fight against death and hell. For on the cross, Christ took the guilt of our sin upon himself, and he paid the price for us. On the cross, Christ entered into our death, our hell, for us. On the cross, Christ defeated the devil utterly. On the cross, the seed of the woman bruised the head of the serpent fatally to utterly destroy him. No, if one would look at Christ there on the cross, he would not get the impression that there was a king. Christ did not appear to be a king, but he was. The title on the cross was true as anything can be. Jesus of Nazareth is the King of the Jews. In the second place, let us notice that the text informs us that this title on the cross was read by many people. We read in the text, "This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin." We have to remember that at this time, the city of Jerusalem was filled with people. This was the time of the Passover. Not only were all the Jews of Jerusalem gathered there, but all the Jews of Judea and of Galilee were there. And besides them, there were Jews from all over the then known world who had traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. These Jews were interested in what was going on. They had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. They had heard that he claimed to be the Messiah. And now they have heard that he was condemned as a criminal and is being crucified. Therefore, these Jews wanted to see this. They wanted to look upon this man who said that he was the promised Messiah. They could do that because Calvary, the place of the skull where Christ was crucified, was near the city of Jerusalem. Most believe that it was only a quarter of a mile outside of the city wall. That Jesus was crucified outside of the wall of the city of Jerusalem is taught in Hebrews 13, verse 12. There we read, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Evidently there was a road that led out of Jerusalem that went right by Calvary, right by the place of a skull. For there is reference in the gospel accounts to people as they are traveling down the road, as they are simply passing by, looking at Jesus, mocking Jesus. This was also the common practice of the Romans. When they crucified someone, they didn't do it in a private place that could not be observed by others. They did it in a very public place. They did it where people often traveled so that the person being crucified would be an example to those that were passing by. Thus, it was very convenient for the Jews to go out and look at Christ there on the cross. And that meant that they saw as well that title that was nailed to the cross above the head of Jesus Christ. Everyone saw, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That was read by hundreds and thousands of Jews from Jerusalem, from Judea, from Galilee, from all over the world. And no matter where the Jew came from, they could all read it because it was written in three different languages: Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. It was written in Latin because that was the official language of the Roman Empire. So anything that was done officially had to be done in Latin. It was written in Greek because that was the common language of the world in that day. It was written in Hebrew because that was the language of the Jews. So it didn't matter if you were born far away from Jerusalem and did not know Latin or did not know Hebrew, you could read it in Greek. There was therefore no question as to what was being said. Everyone was being told the same message. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That is significant. We have to ask ourselves, why is it that God in His providence so worked that hundreds and thousands of people would see this sign? First of all, God intended and did give a witness, a testimony of the truth of the gospel to everyone who read that sign. The chief priest did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the King of the Jews. They had tried him and convicted him of blasphemy because he said he was the King of the Jews. And many of the Jews followed their leaders. They did not consider Jesus to be the King of the Jews. Just before Pilate turned Christ over to the soldiers to be crucified, the Jews said, "We have no king but Caesar." Others didn't know what to think. He had performed miracles. Some of them had seen those miracles. They had heard him preach. Was he the King of the Jews or not? But now, as they passed by and looked at the cross, as they saw Jesus hanging there, God said to them, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. God testified to the Jews. Yea, God says to the world by this title, Jesus is indeed the King of the Jews. In the second place, let us notice that it is significant that Jesus was crucified outside of the city. There was a good reason for criminals to be crucified outside of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. That represented something. That represented the fact that these criminals were rejected by the people of Jerusalem and by the God of Jerusalem. These criminals were forbidden to be crucified within the walls of the city of Jerusalem. That would, as it were, desecrate this place where God and his people dwelt together. Thus, they had to be cast out of the city. The same idea is indicated by the fact that Christ was crucified, that he was hung on a cross. The cross suspends a man between heaven and earth and says by that he is rejected by man and he is rejected by God. He is an outcast. Thus Jesus, executed near the city, but outside of the city walls on the cross, gives testimony of the work that he was performing as the King of the Jews. This king was rejected of God. This king was accursed of God. This king was cast out of the city of God, cast out of the place where God dwells with his people. Not only physically, but spiritually. In those 3 hours of darkness that came upon the whole land of Israel between 12 o'clock and 3 in the afternoon, Christ was cast out of the spiritual city of God. When Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There he was, utterly and totally abandoned of God in his love and mercy. He was forsaken of God. He was outside of the city of God. Our King entered into the very depths of hell. He suffered all the horrors of the wrath of God. He was rejected of God in order that he might save us. And this is how he fought the battle. He did not come with guns and with bombs or with swords and spears. Jesus Christ, as our King, fought our enemies by his suffering and death on the cross. There his divine nature upheld his human nature so that he could bear what no man of himself can bear. That's why the man who goes to hell goes there forever, for eternity, because no man can bear and come out of the wrath of God. But Jesus Christ, as God come in our flesh, could bear that wrath and did bear that wrath as our King. And thus he built his kingdom. No, he didn't seem like a king. hanging there on the cross. But he was the greatest king of all. Finally, let us notice that the fact that many saw this title and read it in these three languages indicates that Christ is such a great king that his kingdom covers all the earth. Many came to see Christ and read this title. They came from all over the world. What a picture of the great kingdom that Christ would establish on the basis of that work on the cross. Today, that kingdom is comprised of people who speak all kinds of different languages, who have all kinds of different tongues, from every tribe, every people, every nation of the world. And all look to Christ and recognize, this is the King of the Jews. Both small and great, rich and poor, bond and free, male and female, hundreds of different kinds of people, every different kind of people that there is. People all over the world who bow before the throne of their King and who cry out from the depths of their hearts, Hail, thou King of the Jews. It's just as God had prophesied through the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar many, many years before. For Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He had a dream of all the kingdoms of the world represented in this great statue of a man. But in his dream, he saw a little stone cut out of a mountain without hands. That little stone rolled down the mountain, and when it struck the image of the man, that image was utterly destroyed and turned to dust and blown away with the wind, and that stone grew into a great mountain. That stone is Jesus Christ. That mountain is his kingdom. Jesus Christ, come into this world without the hands of man, through the great work of God and his Spirit, has established a kingdom that covers the earth. And we, beloved, are proof of that fact. We and all of God's people, we are not Jews, we are Gentiles. Gentiles with many different backgrounds, Gentiles of many different nationalities, Gentiles of many different races. We are living proof of the truthfulness of this title. Christ has conquered our hearts. He has made us submissive to his will. He rules us by his Spirit and by his word. All because of the cross. In the third place, this text notifies us of this objection of the chief priest to this title that Pilate put above the head of Christ. We read, Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. You can imagine that when these chief priests walked before the cross of Christ and looked up there and saw this title that Pilate had written, that they were utterly shocked. What? This can't be. Can't you hear them saying this?
Look at that title. This isn't right. Pilate made a big mistake. Jesus is not the king of the Jew. He said he was king of the Jew. That's a lot different. This title was not acceptable to them. It was not acceptable to them because it made them look bad. If this title were true, if Jesus was the king of the Jews, then that would mean they crucified their king. They crucified the promised Messiah. They are the wicked ones. They are the criminals. They are the ones that ought to hang on the cross. No, that was not acceptable. That had to be changed. Thus they went to Pilate. And they insisted that he write, he said, I am king of the Jews. Not, this is the king of the Jews. These Jews, looking upon that title, rejected the testimony of God. All through the trial of Christ, God so worked in Pilate that he kept on referring to Jesus as the King of the Jews. That's striking. When you read the account of this, over and over and over again, Pilate says, the King of the Jews. And now, even in this title nailed to the cross, which shouted to them the truth, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, they would not hear the word of God. They stopped up their ears. It reminds me of what we have today. There are thousands and thousands of people who will observe Lent, Good Friday, Easter. Many, many people who hardly ever attend worship services will go to church. You might say they will pass before this cross of Jesus Christ. They will look up at that gruesome sight. And when they do, they will see the title on the cross. God will testify to them. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. But how many will listen? How many will believe those words? How many will see that Jesus Christ is the King of his people? Most will only see Jesus of Nazareth, not the King of the Jews. Most will take a quick look, get some sort of good feeling, and then go on their way and forget about Jesus of Nazareth. They will not submit to his word. They will not bow before his commandments. They will go their merry way, living their lives as they always have, in wickedness and sin. There might be some who are like the chief priests. That title above the head of Christ on the cross will be offensive to them. They hate the fact that Jesus Christ is the King. They do everything in their power to tear down that sign.
they so hate Jesus Christ. And even we have to be careful that after we have seen this view of the cross and beheld this title, as we do this afternoon through the preaching of God's Word, that we do not simply go on our merry way as if He were not the King. We know the right theology. We all confess, yes, He is the King of the Jews. But how many of us, by our life, deny that truth that we confess? How many of us doubt that this sin or that sin is really forgiven? Or that all of our sins are forgiven? How many of us live as if we are our king? Sin is our king. Satan is our king. Even though we do not commit blasphemy by our theology, we can commit blasphemy by our life. We may not do that. Take care that when you look at the cross, when you look at Christ, you see your King. Look at how Pilate responded to this request of the chief priests. Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Pilate probably did not even allow these chief priests to come into his presence. He would not even hear their arguments. He simply told his servants, "Go tell them what I have written, I have written," and that's it. It wasn't that Pilate was a godly man. He was not a believer. He saw this as an opportunity to get back at the Jews, for they had forced him to crucify Christ when he really did not want to, for other reasons. Nevertheless, Pilate's insistence that this title stands ought to teach us that if this man can insist upon this title standing, though he is ungodly and unbelieving, surely we in our lives ought to insist that this title stand. We ought to insist that Jesus Christ be recognized as the King of the Jews. No matter how many deny it, no matter how many reject it, no matter how foolish it makes us look, we may not change the title on the cross by our theology or by our life. We ought to declare from the housetops, as God declared on the cross, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Because it is only because He is King that we are saved, that we have eternal life, that our sins have been forgiven us. How thankful we ought to be that Jesus Christ is the King. Yea, let what has been written stand forever. Amen. Gracious God, our Father, we thank Thee that Jesus Christ is our King. We thank thee that thou hast declared it to be so on the cross. Give us grace that we might believe it, that we might live according to it. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 49. Let us sing stanzas 1 and 2. 1 and 2, the triumph of the gospel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.